Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cody is next. Hi, Cody. You're on WGR. What's up?
I was in nursing school, and he's got his blanket on, and so he's messing around with a back hole about 2 weeks prior to this. So I'm like, you had a broken femur for 2 weeks. You never come to the hospital.
Oh.
I'm saying this, I open up his blanket, and he's...
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. Come on.
It's Mike Shope.
It was really embarrassing. It was funny.
No!
And the Bulldog.
That's funny. That's not funny. That's awful. Why did I bring this up?
On WGR.
What is happening?
Sports Radio 550.
That was the show where Bulldog's voice went to the voice of that guy who was arguing with Ron Wolfley. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
That voice, that argument?
Yes, yes.
The Cardinals or the Arizona radio guys who are almost going to fight?
Right.
You sort of sound like that guy.
A little Seinfeld-y, too, I think. I just sort of lapsed in there. Like what is going on? It's a little bit of that.
And what's the deal with airplane food?
Hey, what happens when you get in an elevator? I don't know. I was just mortified by what had happened on the air. That clip. So I don't know. I wasn't thinking, oh my God, you sound like Seinfeld. I was just thinking, how do I get out of this? This guy's talking about an amputated leg and saying it's funny. Like, no.
Not funny.
No.
Jerry Seinfeld is in one of my, I would say, five favorite Saturday Night Live skits of all time.
Oh boy.
Joe, I don't think Joe is really into SNL. I don't know.
Not really.
No. Stand Up and Win. I love Stand Up and Win. It's Jeopardy. This is like Jeopardy before it just turned into Will Ferrell. Hosting Jeopardy with idiot celebrities.
Right, with Norm Macdonald doing Burt Reynolds. Like, that might be my answer to fit.
Sean Connery.
I just love that, yes.
Daryl Hammond is Sean Connery, right?
It's incredible.
In every one, pretty much.
Yes.
But Stand Up and Win, who are the guys? It's three wannabe stand-up comedians basically playing Jeopardy. And it's Adam Sandler, Dana Carvey, and Rob Schneider, I believe.
Okay.
Annie Lennox is the musical guest this night, like 1992 or 3.
Annie Lennox.
And I love Stand Up and Win.
Man, is she great.
She's thin, she's fat. Get a body and go with it.
There's almost nothing like you could say or reference from SNL that's like pre-Will Ferrell that I think I would get or recognize. It's too far ago.
All right. This is just happening way too often where we're talking and like the question becomes, does Joe know the reference?
Right.
I mean, let's just sort of, I'm talking to myself now.
Ease out of that. Ease back on that a little bit. Yeah. All right.
But Joe does know who Seinfeld is. Joe is a Seinfeld fan.
Yes, I've been binge-watching a lot lately since...
The 30 years.
Since the 30-year thing came out. I'm like, I'm going to watch an episode, and then that's kind of turned into me watching like 10 episodes.
I did the same thing. We talked about this last week when it hit 30, and I mentioned the marine biologist one, Diane DeCon.
Yes.
But then I got home, and my thing is set up to have five recorded at a given time. And I saw the Merv Griffin show one.
Oh, great one.
That is so great.
Kramer has the furniture from the Merv Griffin show in his apartment. And then they start doing the show.
Right.
That's great. And what is it?
Elaine Bennis, come on in here.
Is it the first time that she or who doesn't, does George like walk in there for the first time and is like doesn't realize what's happening? It's
yes.
Just like, what?
Yeah, he walks in, they're already sitting there talking, and he has the music starts blasting.
Yes.
He has no idea. What's
he's got a little tape recorder. Kramer has a little tape recorder.
Yes.
And he's just so baffled by what's happening there.
Yeah, the beginning of the episode is Jerry and Kramer. Kramer is in a dumpster. And he finds all the Merv Griffin stuff. So you see, like, the beginning, Kramer is just going to take all the entire set from the Merv Griffin show. All right, so let's play a game.
All right.
Okay. earlier.
Love this jam.
We were talking about Melvin Gordon. You know, about the sixth or seventh running back going in drafts. Maybe that goes down or up, like goes the wrong way for Gordon with this news today, threatening a holdout. Could Le'Veon Bell be happening again in the NFL? And I mentioned how Gordon was second on a list of NFL players in touches since 2015, the last four seasons. Melvin Gordon, 1,079 touches. So rushes and receptions. Second on the list. I have a list of 18 players who have at least 800 touches in these last four seasons. How many can you name without making a mistake? I will put the line at 13 and a half. And I think you could make a couple mistakes and then get them all.
Yeah, right.
But to get them all without a mistake, all
right.
13. Let's say 13 is a win. I'll down a tick.
Being generous, thank
13.
You. So you're saying Gordon is second. You already told us Gurley's first.
Right.
Right. Does he count?
He counts.
He counts as one of the 13. Okay. Because I have a memory and I listen to you talk. So we got one on the board. Gurley is on the board.
Yes.
Le'Veon Bell has to be here on this list.
He is ninth. Despite missing an entire season,
right.
He is ninth.
And
by the way, there are a couple of other guys on this list who did it in fewer than four seasons, who are on this 800 or more touches fewer than four seasons.
Ezekiel Elliott's on this list.
Yes, he is one of those guys.
No.
3 years, 1,003 touches, regular season only, sixth.
LeSean McCoy is on this list.
Third. 1,060.
How far are we going back again? I'm sorry.
Beginning of 2015.
Okay.
Beginning of Rex.
Okay.
Is when that was.
David Johnson's on.
David Johnson is 11th, and he missed almost an entire season.
Yep.
As well. That's six. You're kind of quiet in there.
Because I keep thinking about these big names. I thought about like David Johnson. I'm like, well, he missed a year. But
yeah, I didn't let that deter me. Yep, I just barreled right in.
How about Lamar Miller?
Fifth. Right. 1,049. You going to be on him this year in drafts?
Nah.
Are they fine with him?
I have him in a couple places already, but I'm not really excited about that.
Deontay Foreman.
Yep.
I think that's how you say it. Deontay Foreman.
I have him in both places I have Lamar Miller.
That's good. Back from an Achilles injury. They like him. Okay. Miller is right. Seven.
I'm struggling already.
What was the amount of touches again?
800, actually 806 and up.
I'm worried about either like the Falcons guys.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. It seems like they. I know they're not. They weren't exactly interchangeable, and they're never together anymore. But for this, they are. Like, I don't want to guess either of them. I'm scared.
13's too high. 13's great, actually, if you get to 13. Because it is getting tough.
800 touches. What about James White, maybe, as a guess? No, I don't want to guess James White yet.
I'm just over here dancing.
Yeah, well, it is. It's got a great beat and it's easy to dance to. Leonard Fournette.
Good one. Leonard Fournette. Yeah.
I'm wincing.
Gotta already. Be.
Incorrect.
What?
For one, I don't think it's 4 years, is it? I think it's three.
This might be the fourth.
Yeah, and he, I'm not sure of that. I'm pretty sure of
that. Yeah, I think that's right. I just thought he was been such a horse, but There was.
I wonder what his number is. Let me get it. I'm just over here dancing.
I'm sorry, Joe. I feel like I've really let us down.
All right, so you got seven before that.
Yeah.
Did we get Frank Gore?
I didn't say Frank Gore.
Gotta be Frank Gore. Frank Gore.
Frank Gore is fourth.
Wow. All right. I thought of him, and for some reason, I just thought, I don't know, has he been that? I know last year was sort of like, oh, he's the number one running back again, but was he that right up through?
I also would have hesitated on him because, like, I think of Indianapolis Frank Gore and Miami Frank Gore as, well, he was there.
Right.
But how much work was there? Because I never started him in fantasy. Like, I never had Frank Gore.
Right.
And he didn't score a touchdown last year. Like, how many carries he had, I don't know, but he didn't score a touchdown.
No.
So, I guess I would have thought of him the way you did, which is not that much workload.
Kamara's only 2 years. What about Mark Ingram? Is there an injury in there? There's
a suspension last year, but it's only for four games. Otherwise, I don't think there's a major injury. So that's probably a good one.
I'm gonna say Mark Ingram.
Yes, eighth. 914, despite not being a starter for what, 2 years? Yeah. It's two, right?
Yeah.
Kamara?
Is
I'm thinking about Adrian Peterson.
I was just
going
to say, how about Adrian Peterson?
Adrian Peterson.
Yep, 15th, 835. Might have needed last year to get there. I don't have Fournette as being at 600.
Wow.
He doesn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. There's some injuries in there.
Joe, what do you... No.
What's Fournette going to be?
Marshawn Lynch? No. Right?
I'm going to say no. There's a retirement year.
2015. No.
He's injured a lot last year.
No. Just forget it. Forget I brought it up. Please strike it.
Oh, there might be some retired guys on this list.
Fournette is two seasons. There it is. That makes sense now. 459, two seasons. Right. He's on pace.
Right, right.
Feels like a lot longer.
It's 21 games.
Yeah.
So what's that per game? 22 catches per or touches rather per game?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry's been hanging around a little bit now, but he doesn't get the workload you might want here.
Yeah.
There are two guys, actually one. There's one guy on the list who did not play in the league last year. 800 touches in the last four seasons, but did not play last season. That's a good little question.
Matt Forte.
Close. He's at 650.
I thought of him earlier, too. Didn't think he lasted long enough to be here. Didn't play last year.
Yep, this is kind of tough. Good little question.
He's been gone longer. Who's the great Houston running back?
Arian Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been gone a couple years.
Too long gone. Okay.
I was thinking about Jamal Charles, but he's injured for 1 year too a couple years ago. So I don't think that's it.
No. Tim Tebow. No.
How about this is not that guy, but Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard is right. Three seasons with the Bears, 850 touches, and now with the Eagles.
Who is this guy that retired? Maybe he's not retired. Maybe he's just not out of the league.
Yeah, he's whatever. He's one of those.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing more to it. He's not suspended or anything. He just didn't. Maybe he's retired. Didn't play.
You guessed James White already? Or did we?
I did not guess James White. So that might be.
It's not him.
Okay.
He's not right.
Is there a Patriot anywhere? No, right?
No.
Yes.
Wow.
800 touches?
Yes.
Could it be a guy that's not a running back? Or is this just running backs?
It's just running backs. You'd have to catch 200 passes a year.
Right. There's a Patriot.
Yep.
Deion Lewis.
Nope.
Thought of him when you brought up Tennessee earlier.
I mean, it can't be Burkhead.
No.
It can't be. But who else is there?
LeGarrette Blount.
Yes.
Oh, good one.
Blount.
I'll be a hint there. Yeah.
Walt Michaels died today?
No.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that. Yeah?
Yep. Former Jet coach.
I think I know who the quasi-retired guy is. Is it DeMarco Murray?
Yes. DeMarco Murray, 806 touches.
How about an Eagle here? Well, McCoy. Well, yeah, a little bit of McCoy, right?
They've been splitting it up, though.
Right.
McCoy is all Bills since 15.
Oh, right.
Four years with the Bills.
That's right. That's right.
Who would be on here from the Eagles?
Maybe Sproles.
DeMarco Murray would have been on the Eagles.
Okay.
I was going to say Sproles might be next, and I don't think he gets there.
No. Walt Michaels was the Jet coach when the Bills beat the Jets in the playoffs, Simpson, 81.
Okay. What is Carolina before McCaffrey?
Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams.
Jonathan Stewart comes in just outside this list.
Okay.
696.
Devontae Freeman.
Devonta Freeman is right. 870.
You went in.
Yeah, went for it.
The top 10 are Gurley, Gordon, McCoy, Gore, Lamar Miller, Elliott, a player you haven't named, Ingram, Bell, and Freeman. You mentioned David Johnson, who's 11. You mentioned Jordan Howard, who's 13. You mentioned Peterson, 15. Blount, 16. And Murray, 18. DeMarco Murray.
What are the Giants doing before Barkley gets there?
They are...
all over the place.
Yeah, that's...
right. Hence, they drafted a running back at 2 overall.
By the way, TJ Yeldon is at 636.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, that's something.
How about Doug Martin?
Doug Martin is right. 17th. Still going.
Oakland. Yep.
But Buck Allen. No, kidding.
Isaiah Crowell
is right.
Also Oakland.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's on IR.
He's out for the year.
Yeah.
14th. Good. Jets and Browns. I always had, the last two or three years, I always have Isaiah Crowell. Right. And I never get paid off.
I was looking at the Browns going like, who could the Browns be? And that's the name.
This year it works for me that he's injured because I would have him. And I don't know, maybe that would actually have worked. But
force of habit.
How about
maybe.
How about Chris Ivory?
20th, just outside, 675. The other right answers are in... oh, you got those. You got Crowell. In 12th place is Carlos Hyde.
All right.
Mostly Niners with some Browns. And in, you got all the other ones except number 7. Latavius Murray.
I was going to say CJ Anderson.
Latavius Murray would be Raiders and Vikings.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
And now Saints.
New Orleans.
And I like him this year. In Shopes and Dreams, I traded who?
Cortland Sutton.
Right. Cortland Sutton straight up for Latavius Murray because that was
a big mistake.
It might have been.
Agreed.
You'll see.
Nobody liked this trade. Nope. I made a couple trades that nobody thought were good trades. But I liked I liked Murray for this year. It was an emphasis on this year because I think that's the Mark Ingram role. I don't know if he's as good as Mark Ingram at this point, but I think I would expect him to get touches. Even with Kamara having been as good as he has, because that's what happened before. That's what they do. We talk with Ross Tucker, wide-ranging conversation, including, wait till you hear what Ross Tucker would do during games as a player when he had to go to the bathroom. Mike Shope and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe, that is next on WGR.
It's Mike Shope.
You can talk me into it.
What, the wishbone?
Sure, you can talk me into it.
Get out of here.
And the Bulldog.
The Lombardi Trophy could be in here, and I would pick it up and treat it like a roll-on deodorant.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
A couple of snippets there for you to get a
little taste
of the flavor of this thing here. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, welcome back. Joined now by Ross Tucker, former Bill, now in the media, the host of the Ross Tucker podcast. Ross joining us via the West Her Hotline. Ross, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys?
Pretty good.
We are good, yeah.
We are a couple of weeks away from training camp. I mean, not Bulldog and I. We'll probably go out there once or twice. Denver is what? What does that mean? What's that noise?
I don't know.
You think you're going to start working out? Denver is like less than a week away.
No, I'm definitely not going to start working out. It's on the other end of whether or not we're actually going to go out there at all. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Ross, how optimistic might you be for the Bills?
I'd say I'm pretty optimistic. I think that they have a good chance to build on what they did last year. I thought they were a lot better last year than I thought they would be. I think it's between them and the Jets for second in the AFC East. And I wouldn't be surprised, especially with all the upgrades they made in free agency, the offensive line, some of the weapons for Josh Allen. I wouldn't be surprised if they're very firmly in the wild card mix, you know, in December.
What do you like most about what they did up front? Is it, I mean, Mitch Morse is a big ticket item, highest paid center in the league now. But they also filled in with some guys that didn't cost a lot that have maybe pretty decent or even better than that reputations. Like, how do you see it fitting together up front?
Yeah, I thought it's a good question. And I don't know. I think you can argue that they overpaid for Mitch Morse. I think he's a fine player. With his injury history, I don't know that I would have given him the money that they did. I think what I actually like the most about what they did is just the volume that they've put on it. You know, whether it's Morse or Long or Cody Ford via the draft, I'm a big fan of Ty Nsekhe.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a really good player. You bring in LaAdrian Waddle, Quentin Spain. I mean, the reality is they're going to be able to get five good guys out of that, and really – they're going to be able to have eight guys that you can win with. And so if a guy or two gets hurt, they're going to have a veteran guy who's played, who, you know, won't lose the game for you, a Ross Tucker type, if you will, to be able to plug in there and hold down the fort.
Yeah, this is largely how I feel. I feel almost, Ross, like the Bills have to operate this way. You know, they traded for Antonio Brown, and that didn't work out. But the volume gives them options at wide receiver too, even at running back. And I approve of that. And I think for them, that's almost the only way to go. I think that, you know, doing that is smart. They have the money. You've got to spend it. And so to do that here, you know, there are going to be injuries, of course. So I think this is – and they also – it doesn't sound like – I don't know everything about this, but it doesn't sound like these contracts overall are too penal, like they would be too hard to get out of. So I think it's a good blueprint.
Well, it just feels like they went from a team with hardly any depth on the offensive side of the ball to now very real depth. I mean, at receiver, John Brown, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster. Now you have four guys that, you know, have shown that they can play at a pretty high level in the NFL, whereas last year, at times it felt like it was just Jones or just Foster. Bringing in John Brown to be the speed threat, Beasley in the slot, I think should help out Josh Allen quite a bit. Even at tight end, Tyler Croft is an accomplished player. You have Lee Smith, who's more of the blocking guy, and then you take Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney in the draft, and then running back. You know, you had LeSean, you bring in Frank Gore, you bring in T.J. Yeldon, you bring in Devin Singletary. They really don't have a position where you say, if this one guy gets hurt, you know, the season's over, probably with the exception of Josh Allen. And ultimately, they're doing whatever they can to try to take advantage of Allen being on his rookie deal and to try to give him the best chance to make a big step forward in year two.
Talking with Ross Tucker, is a radio.com NFL insider. He's here with us on WGR. On Beasley, I feel like I've asked almost every NFL guest we've had on this question. Like his accomplishment in the league is being one of the top slot receivers. And Josh Allen is a get it down the field guy. And we've seen some accuracy issues on the short stuff in particular from Allen. And I think that's a really interesting piece to watch because the Bills – obviously prioritized getting a slot receiver for Allen, and I think they're probably expecting him to make progress, maybe even big progress, in throwing to a safety valve slot type guy like Beasley. Otherwise, why make the investment in him at all? And I think that'll be really interesting to watch unfold as this season gets going, Ross.
I would agree. I think the idea is you're trying to give him some easy completions, and you're trying to have an answer on third and medium, which I think they expect to be. They already have the speed guys with Robert Foster and John Brown. They have the stable of running backs. They wanted to get some more intermediate targets to keep the defense honest with Beasley and Croft, and I really think that they did that.
By the way, Brian Daboll, I'm just looking at his career and yours on the screen here. There is crossover when you were with New England. He was the wide receivers coach when you were with New England, which is relatively brief. Would offensive linemen get to know the other position group coaches very well? Like, how well would you happen to have known him?
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I didn't know him very well when I was there. But because we were there together, when he's gone other places, since I've been a broadcaster, I've talked with him quite a bit. I'm a big fan of his. I thought he did some really good things a year ago with Josh Allen. You know, he took advantage of Josh's legs more than I ever thought that they would. And I thought Josh even threw the ball better than expected based on what his statistics had been at Wyoming. But this will really be sort of the referendum on Daboll and his offense. I mean, they're just so much more talented now on that side of the ball. And it's the second year for Josh Allen that, you know, if they don't take a big step, then a lot of that's going to fall on Dable's shoulders. It's his turn and his time to make sure it all works out.
What I think was pretty encouraging in that department, Ross, was that they really had, it looked like, well, and this might be a product of them having started the season expecting Nathan Peterman to be their starting quarterback, and that lasted a half of the opener, and then that was over, and Allen was in. And then Allen missed a chunk of time in the middle of the season, and when he got back in, the offense was different. They had added some different pieces, and of course they continued that you know, more effectively in the offseason here. But Isaiah McKenzie was here. Foster really emerged in the second half of the season, and it was more sort of spread it out and take advantage of Allen being able to run if we've got four and five guys in patterns. And it seemed like he transformed the offense to suit Allen's skill set while he was injured. And I'm encouraged by that because it shows an adaptability that I think you want to have as a coordinator.
I would agree. My concern really at this point is Allen's health. You know, I mean, he ran a lot last year, and he's an aggressive runner. He's a big kid. Some guys, you know, don't really realize the difference between NFL and college. He had a lot of success with it last year. I just don't want him to be running 5 to 10 times a game and to get another injury where he's out for an extended period or, God forbid, the season. You know, that would really stunt his growth. So one of the things I want to see improvement from Josh this year is not taking shots and hopefully not running as much. I still think, you know, 2 to 4 times a game is probably a good number. Once in the run game, once or twice in the run game, once or twice scrambling to keep the defense honest, but just to keep the volume down as much as possible.
We'll get more with Radio.com NFL insider Ross Tucker right after this on W.
With Ross Tucker, Mike Shope, and the Bulldog on WGR. You know, back to the Patriots, not so much your stint there, Ross, but I'm thinking about it a little bit too, because I like to ask our guests, you know, this summer and in recent summers, how many times over the years you were inclined to say, guests from the media, how many times over the years have you been inclined to even just want to go on shows like these or on your podcast and even just start to talk about whether the Patriot thing is about to end? I mean, you're there in 2005. They've won 3 Super Bowls by then. What are we used to? Quarterback will get, I don't know, into his early to mid-30s. And,
right.
That, you know, then he'll break down and just free agency tears teams apart. It's all been said, of course, and written. Like, it's just ridiculous that the thing is still going. in 2019. How often have you been tempted to think it was on the verge of being over?
Well, a lot. And I've actually always looked at it from a different angle, which is I can remember railing on the radio and on my podcast when they took Ryan Mallett in the third round. And then I really thought it was ridiculous when they took Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. And I've just been like, this is unbelievable. You've got the best quarterback ever. He only has 2 years left. Why would you not get him some players, you know, to maximize the end of his career? I mean, I've been doing that for at least six. I mean, how long has Mallett been out? I've been doing it for at least six or 7 years. I've been criticizing Belichick for not doing everything he can to get Brady another Super Bowl win. It's unbelievable that he's still playing. I highly doubt we'll ever see anything else like it. I'm a fan of his personally. I like when he does well. I don't root for the Patriots per se. Of all the teams I played for, I by far have the greatest affinity for the Bills. I think everybody up there knows that. But still, being in New England, you can't help but like Brady. I mean, I know people hate on him, but I don't know anybody that actually knows him or met him that doesn't like him. He's just awesome, and so I want him to maximize his career. So I haven't been the one saying, you know, this is it. This, you know, he plays bad against the Chiefs like 5 years ago. It's over.
Right.
I haven't been that guy. I've been the guy saying he only has a year or two left. They need to really go all in. And then every time I say that, it seems like he still has 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more years. I mean, look, he's older than I am. I'm 40. If I stand at a bar, by the third beer, I need to sit down because my back really hurts. And this guy's still playing pro football.
I love this. Ryan Mallett, that was 2011,
wow.
By the way, when they
drafted. I was thinking it was Manuel's draft, but it's 2 years before that. Wow.
Yeah, because you liked him.
Yeah, I did.
Right?
Well, the year before he came out, by the time he came out, I was like, scared. But for a little while in college, I thought he was pretty high.
Well, yeah. What it does for me, like it, to say the least, Ross, it totally slows me to a halt in wanting to predict that, you know, that they're about to, what?
Get passed
regress.
By anybody?
Regress.
Yeah, right.
I mean, at all. Right? Like, it's just, I mean, I sound right now probably like I feel, which is I just never know what to say about it because I hate to just be sort of the same as everybody else going, yeah, New England will be first and then, you know, but, geez, I mean, I guess I've given up on even considering.
No, right? my recommendation to anybody I ever talk to is never bet against the Patriots. Never tell people they're going to lose. Never say it's over. I mean, you're going to be right every once in a while on them losing. You're going to be right eventually with it being over. But, man, you're going to be wrong a lot more. You just say they're going to win and just say that Brady's got five more years.
Yeah.
Did you – yes, totally. Did you think that about the AFC Championship going to Kansas City? Like, did you like them that day?
I did. I mean, are you talking about who I thought would win?
Yeah, like, did you think, I'm staying, what you just said, basically, I'm staying here, this is, you know, you're going to, you, how much money have you made over the years betting against New England? I'm going with New England.
Well, if I got to be honest, I was on sideline, so all I wanted was anything other than overtime, and then it went to overtime, because I was freezing my you-know-what off, and I had to pee so bad. I was so angry when it went to overtime, I can't even tell you. I mean, it was like painful. My hands, my fingers still hurt from that game. But no, I think I picked the Patriots just because I did not have as much faith and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in a fourth quarter overtime game as I did in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And that's what happened. I mean, that last drive, they're playing man-to-man on third down against Edelman and Gronk. It's like, who do you think he's going to throw to? What do you think's about to happen? Like, I honestly, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I like if you're a dumb team, you should lose. And the Chiefs were so dumb at the end of that game, lining up offsides, you know, man-to-man on Edelman on third down when everybody in the galaxy knew that. I mean, it just, Stupid teams. I like when stupid teams lose. That's my philosophy.
So they. I love that. They can't do that thing where they hold towels around you when you're the sideline report if you got to go to the bathroom while you're on the field. There, I've seen
no recourse.
They can't do that for the sideline guy. You can't. You're stuck.
You know what's funny? When I was with the Bills, I never did that. I just sat on the bench, got like three towels, and just went in my pants. It was so much easier.
Wow.
So much less effort. Although. Bledsoe was never really that happy about it when I was playing center, and I did that.
I would imagine.
But the stickiness gave him at least a little bit of better grip on the ball.
Okay,
good
Ross
Lord,
Tucker,
the color and flavor we are getting on this show today from Ross Tucker on the Western Hotline.
Why did all these years have to go by before learning that?
Right. Hey Ross, at the outset there, you know, we just talked about the Patriots. You mentioned the Bills and.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jets, like somebody's got to be second there. I guess we're all pretty comfortable with assuming the Dolphins will be fourth. How about the Jets? Like Gase has made a lot of waves there. I'm wondering if that might be a disaster. Like how do you feel about him and them, you know, moving forward here?
Well, I like Sam Darnold quite a bit. In fact, he was the quarterback I liked the most last year coming out. So that's a good place to start. They obviously invested a lot in Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley. I'm not really a Gase fan. I do think that they have had a lot of issues and turnover. So I think it could go one of two ways. It could go really well, or it could blow up on them. I don't think that there will be a middle there. But their offensive line is just too much of a concern for me right now. I can't say when you're going to have a team that's one of the five worst offensive lines in the league. I'm not telling people you're going to the playoffs.
Are you more or less bullish on Cleveland than the average guy?
Less, just because I think it'll be a close game. I mean, a close race, and I'd rather have Roethlisberger. And maybe even the Ravens, you know, if they're all going to be 8-8, 9-7, maybe 10-6 in that mix, I'll take the team that have been there, done that, over the team that, you know, has never been the hunted, and they've always been the underdog. It's a totally different ballgame.
Okay. How about jumping around just for a minute here, Ross, while we still have you. Green Bay, with the coaching change there and Rodgers, that big article Tyler Dunn wrote about Green Bay, expose. Same question. Are you more or less optimistic than you think the consensus on the Packers?
I would say I'm about right where everybody else is. If anything, I'd say less, just because I'm never going to, you know, a first-time coach like that, I'm always going to say be a little bit skeptical of that, especially when it sounds like they're already having some issues in that regard.
Okay. How about paying Melvin Gordon, today's story? Really interesting. So many reasons to talk about this with running backs and their value. And here's Gordon, who is not, I mean, he's kind of high up the list as it is, cap number wise and salary wise, but end of his contract, what should happen?
Well, he should hold out and try to get more money now, and the Chargers shouldn't do a darn thing about it. I mean, honestly, like if you're Gordon, you had microfracture, you see what's Gurley's going on and Le'Veon Bell, you missed four games last year. He should do everything he can to try to get more money now. But if you're the Chargers, you just can't do it. You just got to fine him the max amount. You got to make sure you got to say, look, we're not doing it, because they could do something, but it's not going to be the money he wants. So I wouldn't do it. Not him. Not after the microfracture. Not at that position.
Do you think
they're both doing the right thing? And we'll see who caves first.
Right. Do you think what happened last year with the Steelers, so James Conner goes in and does well, like if this got to a point where Gordon stayed out, which of course is, you know, what he'll threaten at this early stage, would the Chargers, do you think, be about as good as they would be with him?
Well, he's made $10 million so far. So I really don't think he wants to miss very many games, which because he's making over $5 million this year. And Austin Eckler is a pretty good backup. And I forget if they drafted somebody or not, but I would let him miss games. You know, I would let him miss games and go without him and expect him to be back by week two or three.
All right.
Do you think we're into thinking about Bell, who, you know, he cost himself a year's worth of money, but he still did get a pretty big contract once he got to free agency this year. Antonio Brown navigated really his way out of Pittsburgh differently than Bell did, but he ultimately got, you know, what he wanted. He got paid and went to a different place. Do you think we're, like, is Gordon maybe another test here? Like, if he, do you think he can navigate his way out of the Chargers to someone who wants to give him more money right now?
No, that's not happening. They're not getting rid of him because they know he'll eventually show up and they're trying to win the Super Bowl this year. So I highly doubt they would trade him. This ends with Gordon maybe missing a game or two, and maybe they work out a deal that gives him a little bit of guaranteed money next year, gives him a raise this year, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think so. And who's paying him anyway? Who would want to, you know, give him a bigger contract? With that's sort of against the grain right now. All right, Ross. Well, what a treat. Thanks, as always, for jumping on with us. It was really fun.
Absolutely. My pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Our thanks to Ross Tucker for this. As well as all of you for listening. Stay tuned. Sneaky Joe is dead ahead with the Nightcap. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 here on WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.